screen now. Hey, all right, very good. Awesome. So on that next to last song that it said name, or what is it? What was it called? Speak the name of Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I felt something break in the spirit in here. Did you guys feel that? I felt that. I mean, up until then, it was hard trucking. But when that started happening and they started singing that, man, I felt something break in the spirit. And let me tell you something. Once God starts something, he finishes it, all right? So you keep that in mind. And sometimes we just have to sit. We have to sit in his presence. And sometimes it feels uncomfortable. It's like, okay, all right, we're sitting. What now? What's going to happen next? But if you just sit and see what God does, man, he breaks and he heals and he sets free. And so what he started this morning, he's going to finish in a lot of your lives today. So you just get ready and hang on, all right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be here in Kenton, Ohio. I haven't been over here since I think we painted the place, and the painting job still looks pretty good, if I don't say so myself, since I painted it. So everything looks really good. But it's so good to be here. And most of you women, I especially think you know my wife, Pastor Nicole. So, yeah. My high school sweetheart of 30 years now, so it's fantastic. And we have three wonderful kids, Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and No Mo, thank God. I know some of you here after 20 years have had children now. Wow, that's amazing. What a miracle. Not in our house, sorry, no. Praise the Lord. But it is really good to be here. And you know, those last two songs confirmed what I'm supposed to talk to you guys about this morning. I had a different message altogether. And as I was sitting and preparing for it about 2-3 days ago, it changed. And I'm like, oh, I hate when you do this. But those last two songs confirmed what I'm supposed to talk to you guys today about and what God wants you guys to hear today. So hallelujah. So I am excited about that. And my title today is, I did bring it over. I don't know if they put it up there. It's entitled, Don't Quit or Give Up, Fight and Make a Comeback. Don't quit or give up, fight and make a comeback. I want everybody to say that with me. Ready? Go. Don't quit or give up, fight and make a comeback. And the reason it's such a very long title message is because as I was laying this whole thing out, there's an aspect of that title in everything I'm going to talk to you guys about today. And so instead of just putting don't quit or don't give up, or get back up, or fight, I thought I would just put everything in the title today for you that the message is going to talk about. So that's why it's so long, but it's really good. And after you saw that title and you hear the last two songs that we sang, it's already starting to fit into place. Amen? All right, so let me start out by saying, have any of you guys ever wanted to quit or give up? Raise your hands. Yep, neither have I. Hallelujah. Let's pray, and let's go to Michelangelo's. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! They're not open till 4? Well, there you go. So I guess we got to go to the Mexican place today. I don't know. So everybody should have their hands raised because everybody has gone through something where they've wanted to quit, you've wanted to give up, and say, I am done. All those that married say, except for the guys. Yeah, that's right. We all have. I mean, ladies, okay, let's just go with you for a second. How many of you ladies have ever said, I'm going home, but instead of wanting to get in that kitchen and start cooking or start asking everybody in the family, what do you want tonight? I don't know. What do you really want, honey? What do you want? I don't care. And then you say, okay, well, let's go to tacos. I hate Taco Bell. Well, then you do care. You know, how many of you ladies, instead of doing all that, would rather go home, light a match to that kitchen, and watch it burn up so you never have to cook again? Thank you. Absolutely. Now, guys, let's take it to the guys now. And be careful, men. Be careful, okay? Be very careful. How many of you guys would sometimes just like to give up on that marriage and trade your wife in on 2 great shotguns and a hunting dog? Amen. Not one hand went up in this place. Okay. All right. that's a tough question. I get it. That's a trick question. Now, how many of you guys, let's say you, instead of going to work, you'd rather make a phone call to your boss, and when the boss answers, you push the play on the button that says, take this job. and shove it. I mean, we all have wanted to do that, haven't we? We've all wanted to give up. We've all wanted to quit. A lot of us don't want to fight anymore. We don't care about making a comeback. Life is tough and life is difficult. But we are overcomers. I said we are overcomers. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's the deal. We all have problems. We all have situations. Some of them come at us unexpectedly. Like unfortunately with Pastor Phil. High blood pressure shoots to the ceiling, sends him skyrocketing into outer space. Pastor Regina has to deal with that. And then on top of that, just recently, her father dies unexpectedly. I got to get there. Can't get there. Those are real problems and situations. But do you see them giving up? No. Do you see them laying down and saying, I'm done. It's over. I don't care anymore. God, do you really care about me? Do you see them doing that? No, they're fighting. They're getting back up. They're making a comeback. They're not quitters. Amen? Amen? Look at this church, for instance. I remember when this thing was almost barely thought of. Actually, I remember before it wasn't even here, we used to be at the fairgrounds in Kenton doing all kinds of miracle services and things like that. And one time, Pastor Dosek was driving up, I think 68 or whatever it was, to come to fairgrounds, and his truck blows up. It blows up, engine gone. We get a phone call. My truck's blow out. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I guess I'll just go back home. No, he didn't. No, he got a ride, and he got to that fairgrounds and did that miracle service. Come on. Hallelujah. So this church, in the blueprints, I remember the frustration, and oh my gosh, these prints are bad. These are wrong. This isn't going to happen. They're not approving this. Now this has cost this much money. We don't know what's going on. And in the middle of it, these guys said this, the inspector says this. It would have been easy just to say, forget it. It's not worth it. But we didn't. And look what we have here, and look what God has done in Canton, Ohio. Through this building, people are being touched through this city. You have been touched. You're getting changed. You're getting set free. You're letting other people know about it. And it's even changing lives around the world with your giving, your finances, your prayer. God is doing some wonderful things because we didn't give up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I don't have to tell you what's going on in the world and how unbelievable things are in the world today. I mean, this COVID thing has just messed everything up. And I know that that word is like a cuss word. We don't even want to say the word COVID. But it's so messed up. And the confusion is overwhelming at times. Who's telling the truth? Is there a scandal? All this stuff is happening. We don't know what's what. We have so many questions and very little answers. And it just, if we think about it long enough, it's so overwhelming and it could cause so much stress and anxiety. Amen? Absolutely, if you dwell on it. I mean, oh, let's see, it's time to wear a mask. No, let's wear no mask. Let's wear two masks. Let's wear three masks and a face shield. We might as well sit in there with a mask. I mean, we don't know what's what. Who is telling the truth? It's separated families. Families are separated over a mask issue. Listen, the church is separated over COVID and masks. It is horrific. And it shouldn't be. And that tells you just how weak the church really is when a mask can separate you and set you on a spiraling course away from God. Yikes. I promise this is going to be a good message, okay? I promise this is a message of hope. All right, amen. Just bear with me because we just got to get this ground laying out of the way. Hallelujah. Well, let's not talk about our nation's leaders either. Because boy, is that another situation that we know we're in the end times. When we see what's happening. Amen? Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. Bullying is an all-time high in America. I'm sure it is around the world. All-time high. Bullying is. Listen, along with bullying also comes racism. Racism, again, an all-time high in America. It's an all-time high in schools. Everywhere you go, bullying and racism. And let's think about schools. We have to keep such an eye on our schools and our leaders, because you see the critical race theory that's happening. You see what all these teachers and people in high school are trying to do to our kids. We have to keep an eye on the books that are now in our public schools because they're trying to take out certain parts of history that existed. I saw somebody say the other day online, it said, listen, George Washington died in 1509, and if he's causing you stress and problems today, you need a counselor. I thought that was kind of funny. It was pretty interesting. But they're trying to take certain things out. They even are trying to say that the Holocaust did not exist. Wow. Well, listen, you can try to take it out of the school book, but you'll never take that out of here. Because let me tell you something. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, God talks about it before it ever happened. It's never coming out of here. Amen? That's why the church is so important, that we continue to speak truth to not just ourselves, but our kids as well. Amen? Look, we've got gender-neutral bathrooms, whatever those are, everywhere. Everywhere. We was at the Salvation Army one day, and we were ministering up there to kids, and I had a little kid in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, this man, and it was a little girl, she went in the bathroom, I'm standing outside. And this man comes out there and said, I'm going to the bathroom. I said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, I am. I said, no, I got a little girl in there. I don't care. I said, buddy, you better back off. I said, are you going to see the unsaved Randy come out? You know? So it's just, we got to watch everything. Not only do we have to talk to our kids about the birds and the bees now, little Phil Jr., we got to talk to them about the bees and the bees. And the birds that used to be bees and the bees that used to be birds. And the birds that look like bees and the bees that look like birds without, but they, yet they still have a stinger. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy. And how do you talk to a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old about this kind of stuff? It's ridiculous. You know, I watched Ohio State win last night. OH! Woo, it was a tough game. But you know, there were 3 commercials within that that had nothing but homosexuality all through it. You saw commercials on guys kissing guys and girls kissing girls. 3 commercials. And then in all the movies that you see these days, they're putting in all that. You know, again, homosexuality is just a sin, as lying is a sin, as stealing is a sin, all right? It's all the same in God's eyes. But yet our kids are seeing this stuff over and over and over. And so we've got to help them. We've got to train them. And again, it can get just overwhelming, and anxiety can set in if we don't know how to deal with it. Amen? Hallelujah. We're so busy, we have so much opposition, even in the church as well. We have so many ungrateful people. We have so many easily offended people, mean people, ungodly people, unforgiving people, people that don't take correction, won't take correction. Whether it's from you or whether it's from God, because it says he chastens those that he loves. Are you willing to be chastened? It's not easy, but there are people that won't do it. And yet these are people that are supposed to be overcomers. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, half the seats that are empty in here are people that have been what I call church hurt. Church hurt over something, something ridiculous. And yet, what boggles my mind is the same problems that I just read about and the same type of people that are unforgiving and all that stuff, it all happens in the workplace as well. But yet, you're still at work. You still go to the same job. It happens in your home, but yet you're still married. It happens with your kids, but yet they're still eating at your table. They still have their bedrooms. But yet, when it comes to the church, what makes it so different? Why can't we deal with it? Why can't we go to the one that I know that has ought against me and say, bro, listen, man, I'm sorry. Whatever it was, please forgive me. I was out of my mind. I am a blonde. Okay, can you forgive me? You know? What's so difficult about that? It shouldn't be difficult. It should be easy because we are supposed to be brothers and sisters. But it seems like family is the hardest to deal with. Amen. Wow. Why is that? And sometimes it makes us want to quit or give up. Forget it. I'm not trying to make a comeback. That was too difficult the first time. But we have to if we're Christians and if we love Jesus. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. But here's the deal, guys. Jesus was not surprised about any of this. He's not surprised about anything that he sees because they also quit on him. They also gave up on him. So if you have your Bibles or your electronics today, our first scripture verse is going to be out of John, the 6th chapter. John, the sixth chapter, and then we're going to go to verse 66. John 6:66. I was just trying to be funny there. All right. It says here, well, before I say that, let's look at what Jesus had already done. He had fed 5,000 people, men, it should say, and then there was women and children on top of that. So everybody says maybe 15,000. Who knows? With just simple loaves and fishes. So he did that. He walked on water. He saved so many people's lives from a crippling arthritis, from suicidal thoughts, from anything from cancers to whatever it was. He did so many amazing things that nobody had ever seen before. He said some things that nobody had ever heard before. And yet he's at this one particular place with thousands of people. And he says something that some people didn't like. He says some things that some people didn't understand. And what did they do? They did what some of the people do today. It says they walked away. They left. They wouldn't follow him any longer. Wow. You mean this guy that they seen with their own eyes walk on water? Take an arm and it comes out of a socket? A guy sitting on a bench or on the ground for 30 years, get up, eyes healed. I mean, you're going to walk away from that because of just something that he said that didn't make sense? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? But they did. They got up and they walked away. They were offended. And here's what it says in verse 66 of John, the sixth chapter. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12 also that was with him. I'm sure he's just like, he's watching people just walk away. He's just standing there. Oh my gosh, we created these people. Unbelievable. And he's watching them walk away. And so he looks over, and the 12 are just standing there. I'm sure they're dazed. I'm sure they're confused. I'm sure they're going, what just happened? What is going on here? And he looks over them, and he says, so, do you want to also get up and go away? Huh? Do you want to go too? Go ahead. Go ahead. Next verse. It says, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Smart guy. See, what Peter is saying is this. Why would we want to quit? Why would we want to give up? Where would we go? What would we go back to? We want to go back to something that we so desperately wanted to get away from? Your past? Huh? There's no way I'd want to go back to that. You want to go back to being a drug addict again? I'm just going to quit this life because it's so difficult. I'm going to quit Christianity because it's so hard. I'm just going to go back to what I used to be, a drunk. Where the cancer sticks control me again, and I don't control them. I want to be out at 20 below zero. No! What's there to go back to? I want to go back to being a loudmouth, horrible father. I want to go back to being a wife beater once more. I want to be a nasty, nasty mouth sinner who goes to bars and chases women again. Is that what you want to go back to? Peter's so smart. Ain't nothing to go back to, Jesus. There's no way. We don't want to go back anywhere. Plus, we see and know that you are the Christ. Amen. We're going to stay here no matter what. I don't care how many people leave. I don't care how many people go that way. I don't care how many people say that you're nuts, you're crazy. I'm staying right here. I'm going to be the remnant that gets to heaven. I'm not following the crowd. Come on, somebody. Come on. No matter how hard it is. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up, no matter what. That's what Peter was saying right there. Great guy, smart guy. Look what it says here also in Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. See, even though we do good, we can grow weary. We can get tired. We might want to give up. But it says, for in due season, We shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we can't give up, guys. We can't go back to being who we used to be. You know, the Bible says in Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 45th verse, that those that have known Christ, that have benefited from what he said, benefited from everything that he said you could have, if you go back, if you quit, if you give up, the Bible says that it will be 7 times worse for you. 7 times worse. You know how some of you were in the past. Would you want that 7 times worse? No, I don't think so. And I sure wouldn't want to have to get through that. It was hard enough to get through the first time with who some of us were and all the knocking on our heads and our hearts to get us into this place, to get us saved, and to give up that life, that carnal life. I sure wouldn't want to deal with it 7 times worse. Woo, whoa, no way. And you know, we've had guys that have come up to us and said, I had it 7 times worse. And it's a miracle that I'm here today because of it. Wow, that's crazy. So we can't give up while doing good. Now here's what the NLT version says of Galatians 6:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We must continue to be the light of the world, you guys, no matter how dark it gets, like that song said. Tommy Barnett, if you guys don't know who he is the biggest AG pastor in all of America. He has the biggest church. His son, Matthew Barnett, has the Dream Center in California and Hollywood. We've been there. I've been there. Phenomenal. Tommy Barnett said it best when he said, you can enjoy the luxury of wanting to quit when you know you're not going to quit. What a statement. It might take a minute to get that in your head. I had to think about that for a minute. I can enjoy the luxury of wanting to quit when I know that it's never going to happen, that I'm not going to. And that's how he lived his life. That's what he says. How I live my life. There's many times that I wanted to quit, and I said, man, I think I'm going to quit. And I enjoyed thinking about it because I knew I was never going to, no matter how hard it got. It's crazy. Crazy thinking that way. It's amazing. But now the problems that I just mentioned, the things that I just talked about, I'll be honest with you, they're powder puff problems. Offenses and getting angry and leaving this because of this. They're just powder puff problems. And people can't even handle powder puff problems because there's some of you in here today and some that are not here, some that might be listening by television, by live stream, whatever. You have some real problems that you've dealt with, some real anxiety that you've went through. You've had some real pain, some real trauma that you've dealt with, some real brokenness, been heartbroken by somebody that just wounded you to the core. You felt injustice, true injustice. You've been crushed by somebody. You're confused, you're scatterbrained. Your depression has set in, oppression is trying to take over. Those are real problems, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you might be in those right now. You see, here's the thing about the devil. He hates you as a sinner, but he had you. But the minute you gave your life to him, boy, did you become a mortal enemy. And some people, you know, I read some of these things on kids' programs and things on Facebook. And you know, one thing that really, it didn't haunt me, and I have a problem. I'm trying to use my filters. You know, I'm supposed to have some filters, my wife said. I'm trying to use filters. It's very difficult for me to filter some stuff, you know. And so I can't comment on anything on Facebook, even though I want to, because I know it don't help anyway, and it wouldn't matter. It's just going to cause more fights and more situations. Do we understand that? I mean, you know. And so the position that I'm in, and I just can't, even though I want to. But I was looking on Facebook, and there was a thread about kids, and the children's worker said, oh, it was so cute this Sunday. My child said that, had a question and said, can the devil be saved? And the teacher said, oh, honey, you know, he's a bad guy. And then it all down through, you know, there's hope for everybody. The thread was just got worse and worse and worse about how the devil could change, how he might be able to be saved, how there is hope. And I thought, are you people nuts? And I was going to, and I said, nope, get thee behind me, Facebook, sorry, because it wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped. The devil hates your guts. He is the type of person that when you are down at your weakest point, then he will take the weapon that he has fashioned against you, your weakness, and stab it right through your skull and hope to see you suffer. That's what our enemy is like. So when you're down, when you have these situations and issues, he will continue to not let up. He will continue to take you all the way to where you're done. And then he's happy. That's our enemy. That's our enemy. So we've got to be very careful. Listen, the other day, I have a couple pictures, and some of you may have seen this. Pastor Dosek and Eric just came back from Pakistan. I think they're up there. They might throw them up there. But anyhow, over 70,000 people, and not just people, Muslims, gave their lives to Jesus. 70,000 Muslims in Pakistan gave their lives to Christ. I mean, these are people, we know what Muslims are like. We understand, you know. So those people gave their life to Christ. And you think the devil's happy about that? Oh, no, 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 no. So he'll do whatever he can. So if he can't hit Eric, Pastor Dosek, then he's also then going to try to attack the family. So Eric and Pastor Dosek come back. Eric is now at home. We're showing the videos. We're showing what's happening. People from Pakistan, the healings and the miracles, they're still coming through by the thousands. It's amazing. They've never been there before. It was awesome. They had 500 armed security guards around them. They could only go to certain places at certain times. I mean, it was just cray-cray. And look what God did. So the devil is so mad that Eric gets back home, and all of a sudden we get this phone call. And Angela is sitting in her office at her house. They are probably, let's see, their house is probably here, and the road is at the road. That's how far away their house is off the road, okay? Get a phone call that somebody passes out on North Dixie Highway, comes through the neighbors. Now, these are country homes, guys. These are acres. There's acres before you get to Eric's house. There's acres for the neighbor's house. This person passes out, goes through the neighbor's yard, travels hundreds and hundreds of feet off the road, and slams into the side of Eric's house, almost hitting 4 feet from Angela, who's sitting in her office. It cracked every wall in the house. It was so loud, she went deaf in one ear and could just humming, and only heard humming in her ear. Doors won't shut. Walls are cracked in half. What? Are you kidding? That is not normal. The devil's not happy. He's upset. Poor little thing, you know. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to your family. It seems like in the past, and we've caught on to this now, but when I was in Africa, because I've been in Africa 14 times also, we do so many things, I'd get a phone call. Nicole would say, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I'm like, what is going on, Nicole? What is happening? Yeah, this and this. And I think she has a message about it. I think he even talked about that or something like that. The devil's upset. He's mad. So one way or another, he's going to try to make somebody hurt for those that are doing good. And we can't grow weary no matter what attacks come. Because listen, he can't harm us. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We are protected. God is with us. Angels are around us, surrounding us. No harm or danger can come to us. How dare you, you foul, defeated foe, try to attack us or our family. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So here's the deal. There's real pain out there. There's real problems that some of you are going through. Will I ever get back what I've lost? Will that ever be the same again? Some of you might be in the midst of, I can only make it through an hour, let alone a day with what you're going through. Constantly attacked. And you know, some of the things I see, some of the people that are attacked the most seems like they have the most faith. It's like, man, they got the faith to get through this. They got the faith to get through this. Man, they're attacked here too. My gosh, they're attacked over here. Wow, but they came through it with flying colors. But man, it was crazy. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They got back up. They made a comeback. That's phenomenal to me. Hallelujah. So here's the deal. I want to show you a small story, and it's in the book of Ruth. So if you Head over to Ruth for me, with me real quick. There's lots of stories of pain in the Bible. Lots of stories of pain. Lots of stories of persecution. And I was going to pick a different one. And I wanted to pick a different one. I wanted to pick the one with the most pain because I wanted to make a point. But as I was studying that, the Lord sent me over here. And so for some reason, he wants me to talk to you about this story because this is the one that must relate the most to somebody that needs it here today or online today. In the book of Ruth, it's a little story, small story actually, about Naomi and Ruth. Naomi had a husband, and she had two sons, and she had two daughter-in-laws. Great little family. They were doing really good. But all of a sudden, Naomi's husband dies. It doesn't say why he died. He just died. And anybody who's lost a loved one, maybe a husband even or a wife, knows the trauma that that can cause somebody. But not only that, 10 years later then, both of her sons die. Now, I've been to several funerals where parents have buried their kids, and man, I don't want to go there again. Because every parent said, I never wanted to see my kids go. I never wanted to bury my kids. I want to go first. So Naomi lost her husband. That's grief. Naomi then lost both of her sons. That's horrendous. We can't even imagine what she's going through 10 years later. Both the daughter-in-laws, obviously, lost their father-in-law, lost their brother-in-laws. Relationships back then were not like relationships today. Everybody was a family back then. Everybody did things together back then. They united back then. They lived together back then. In Israel, if you get married, guess what? You build your house on top of your parents' house. Aren't you glad that you don't live in Israel? And every kid does the same thing. Crazy stuff. So everybody was united there. So she lost so much. They all lost so much. And in the story, Naomi has given up. She quit. She wouldn't make a comeback, and she didn't stand up. She looked at both of her daughter-in-laws and said, go away. Go back to your homes. Go back to your villages. Go back to the countries you came from. I'm done. It's over. The Bible says that one did. One left. Sayonara. All that relationship that you've built up all those years with your mother-in-law. Gone. See ya. But Ruth said no. Ruth said, I'm not going to do that. No, I want to go with you. And the Bible says, and I don't know how many times Naomi tried to tell her, go, leave me, I have nothing. Go. She refused to go to where the Bible says, finally, in verse 19, we'll read it here. It says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city, say all the city, all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is that Naomi? I mean, man, she's home. Wow. Phenomenal. Naomi's here. Let's go see. Hi to Naomi. She's back. That's great. But verse 20 says, but she said to them, this is Naomi now, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Wow. Now, the word Naomi in Hebrew means delightful and pleasant. Does she sound delightful and pleasant? Oh, absolutely not. No, she don't. And the name Mara means bitter in Hebrew. So she was so bitter and so hurt that she wanted everybody in town to know it. You know people like that? That when they're mad, they want everybody in town to know it? Maybe in your home as well? Yeah, that was Naomi. She was very bitter. She was very hard because of what had happened to her, and she said God did it to her. God was the author of her bitterness. Whew. Hallelujah. And then let's read on down to verse 21 here. It says here, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Man, this girl just keeps on going. I went out of here 10, 15, 20 years ago full, and now I come back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. And it said, so Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Can you imagine what Ruth had to deal with that mother-in-law? How many of you guys love living with your mother-in-law? How many of you guys live far away from your mother-in-law? I do. 45 minutes away. I love my mother-in-law, don't get me wrong, you know. But can you imagine traveling and listening to bitterness for days and weeks on end? Listening to hurt, listening to how God has dealt me this horrible pain and suffering and sorrow. That would be just, it gets on you if you let it. And yet, Ruth, as we read here, it didn't get on her. She wouldn't let it get on her. It says here, and oh, I want to say this too, that she was a bitter woman and wanted everyone to know it. And if you're writing something down today, I want you to write this down because this is very important. And if you're not writing something down, I want you to write this down because it's very important. All right? It says here that if you hold on to bitterness, it will just keep you identified with your loss. Okay? And then there will be no recovery. If you hold on to bitterness, it will just keep you identified with your loss, and then there will be no recovery. See, this tells me that she didn't understand what happened. She didn't know why. She didn't know who to blame, so she blamed God for it. That's all she knew. That's all she knew. Now, I want you to write this down, too. When people keep asking why, you're going backwards and getting nowhere. If you keep asking why with your situation, whatever it is in your life that has happened to you, if you keep on asking why, you're going backwards and getting nowhere. But when you begin to ask, what now? What now? You're looking forward and heading somewhere. You're looking forward and heading somewhere. When people keep asking why, you're going backwards and getting nowhere. But when you begin to ask, what now? You're looking forward and going somewhere. Ruth did not plan on going backwards. She said no. She demanded to stay with Naomi. So what she was doing then is saying, what now? What now? I'm not going to go back to my town. There's nothing there. I don't even know anybody anymore there. I'm coming with you. I want to know what's next. What's now? I'm moving forward in my life. No matter how much you want me to leave, Naomi, I'm not going to do it. I'm coming with you. And she went. She had tenacity. Now let's look down at Ruth 2:2-3. It says, so Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean a heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said, go, my daughter. And so she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come on the part of the field that was belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. So she said, this is the deal. I'm moving forward. I'm going to do what I need to do to survive to see what's next. So she started gleaning in the fields. That simply means she became a beggar. I mean, from going to where she was, it looks like she's going backwards. And now she had everything she needed at home with her husband, with her father-in-law. Everything was good. Lost everything. Listening to this bitter woman all the way back to Bethlehem. Living with this bitter woman in Bethlehem. And now it seems like it's getting worse because now she is a beggar in the fields. That's what gleaning means. She's begging. See, God put back in the old covenant that you're not supposed to get all the grapes off the vine. You're supposed to let some fall. Any of the crop, you can't pick it all up. You're supposed to leave some of it for the people who need it, who are less unfortunate. And you weren't allowed to even take the crops down off every corner of your field. They're supposed to stand, again, to help those that were less fortunate than you. That's how awesome our God is. And so that's what they call gleaning. And so she was doing that. She was doing what she wanted, what she needed to do. Although she was begging, she was not a beggar. Although she was surviving, she knew that it would only be for a while because she was looking forward and looking what is next. You got to make the best out of your situation, folks. It may not look good at the moment, but don't quit or give up. You might be just an inch from your miracle, just a prayer away from God coming through for you. Don't give up at the last minute. Naomi, she gave up, but Ruth did not and would not. I've heard it said that your attitude determines your altitude. We've all heard that. And look at Ruth's attitude in verse 2, Ruth 2:13. So now she's talking to Boaz. And Boaz, he came to her, and she said to him, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not one of your maidservants." So she's saying, listen, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm acting like one of the maidservants, but I'm not a maidservant. I'm going somewhere. I'm not laying down. I'm not bitter. That's what she was saying right there. She came from death all around her and had nothing, gleaning in the fields, and yet, if you read on down there, she ended up eating at the table where the reapers were. Woo, that's pretty good, isn't it? I thought that's pretty doggone good. You know, people that beg don't get to eat at tables where the reapers are. So she's moving forward, and she's not only moving forward, she's moving up because of an attitude. Because of her attitude, and we'll show you that in a minute. She married Boaz, very rich dude, lots of money, and they had a child together. That's amazing from where she started. Is it not? And we don't know how many years it took for her to get to this place. We read these scripture verses in one paragraph and in one page, and we go, wow, man, that was pretty good. This could have took 10 years, guys. This could have been 10 years of bitterness having to deal with her mother-in-law. Who knows how long it took? But she never gave up. She continued to look forward. She didn't quit. She got back up from tragedy. She fought for what she wanted. She made a comeback, and she reaped a huge harvest, all because of attitude as well. It says here in Ruth 3:11, it says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear." This is Boaz talking to her. "I will do for you all that you requested, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." What does that mean? Remember, all the people in town knew what Naomi said. "Don't call me Naomi any longer. I'm Mara." I mean, they all like, "All right, we ain't going to be around Naomi, all right?" But yet, when it comes to Ruth, all the people in town, everybody knew that she was a virtuous woman. In other words, she had integrity and discipline. And therefore, she received everything that God had for her. Because people are watching you. They're watching your every move. How are you going to react to this? And that's why we know the devil does what he does. See, he don't know your thoughts. He'll put a thought in there and look at your reaction. Because he sees how you react to the thought that he puts in your mind. "Oh, I got him. That's his weakness. I had to start fashioning that thing, sucker. Come on, move it." And at the right time, he'll use it on you. Everybody was watching her. She was integral. She was kind and pleasing. No matter her surroundings, no matter what she was going through. And so God did what he did for her. And here's the thing, and this is the thing that blew me away when I thought about this. She did all this without the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit helping us. He's our helpmate. She did all this without that. She did all this without knowing Naomi's God. She was a Moabite from a town that worshiped the non-existing God, man-made God. She didn't even know much, only about maybe what Naomi had said. "Huh, man, my God hurts us, and he puts this on us, and he does this." She did all that without all that, without the promises that you and I have today. She did all that. How much better of a covenant do you and I have? So much better. We have so many more promises. We have the Holy Spirit with us to help us and guide us. It should be no big deal. If she can do it, by golly, you and I can do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is good, even though if you don't think it is. Praise the Lord. Here's the deal. And when it comes to marriage, I had to put this in here because marriages are on attack as well. I mean, there's so many marriage. Nicole and I do so much marriage counseling right now. It's just like, oh, Jesus, help me. And the other day, we were doing marriage counseling, and Nicole said something that stayed with me. She told this woman, she said, "Go back and get what you lost." And I was like, go back and get what you lost. I like that. I think that'll preach. I thought that was good. And so it made me start thinking about our oldest son, Lincoln. He's 19. He's in college, Ohio Christian University, but he's got a girlfriend. And they've been dating for a while now. And we went on vacation. And when we was on vacation, I couldn't find Lincoln at night. And so I'm looking around the whole thing, and here he is. He's sitting up at a table, and he's talking to Grace, his girlfriend, you know, for hours at a time at night, you know. And I went by and said, "Hi, Grace." "Hi, Randy." "Okay, great." And the next night, yep, same thing. The next night, all 10 days, he reads her poems at night as she goes to bed. How weird is that? I mean, just psycho kid, you know. You know, he takes her on dates. He took her to Columbus on top of a restaurant and fed her this crazy meal. And he said, "I only did it once, man. I'm a college student. I ain't got no money." You know, that was great. I'm watching him do all these things. And then when he comes home from college after not seeing us for 2 or 3 weeks, he doesn't come to our house first. He goes all the way to St. Mary's and is with her until dark and then comes home to see us. So my wife now is not saying Grace. Now she begins to say, "That woman has taken my baby." So it's starting to change already. That girl's taken my baby. I mean, it's just, I'm like, "Nicole, are you getting bitter? You know, are you going to be called Mara instead of Nicole?" You know? So, but I'm watching all this, and of course, that is bringing them together, all the things that they're doing together. I started remembering how her and I started dating. We didn't have cell phones, folks. Some of you can relate. We had to write letters to each other. And so the letter would get there 5 days later, you know? And I'd be wondering, "Did she get the letter? Did she get the letter? Did she get the letter?" Because I lived in Piqua and she lived in Anna. And so we only saw each other twice a week, Sundays and Wednesdays at church. I wasn't allowed to talk to her any other time. And yes, I was more scared of Pastor Dosick than God. Yes, I was. I'll admit that. Okay? So that was it. So, but yet, the things that we did for each other built our relationship and got us to, of course, become married and all that stuff. And so when she said that, "Go back and get what you lost." You know, what have we lost when it comes to our marriages? What have we stopped doing for each other? Right? Okay, this is a good idea. Okay, so if you're married, I want you to look at your wife or husband right now. Fate, look at them. I know you maybe have not done that yet all morning, but look at each other, okay? You can still do that. You used to do it when you dated. Look at them, and now I want you to take your finger, and I want you to point it at yourself. Look at your spouse, take your finger, and point it at yourself. And I want you to say this with me. If there is something wrong in my marriage, it probably has to do with me. Now, where's that finger pointing? He says, "Back in the back row, back in, behind me." Yeah, you get my point? You get my point? Marriage isn't 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%. And man, that's hard to do because we are built of flesh. And so we want what we want. And so here's the deal. When we were dating, when Nicole and I was dating, we dated for 3 years, never had sex. We were both virgins when we got married. Barely at times, especially when we said, "I do," or when we got engaged. That was even harder. All right, but man, and so that's why we upped it 6 months because we didn't know if we was going to make it, even as scared as I was of Pastor Dosek. So we moved it up. But here's the thing. I wasn't interested in what she was doing for me because I was too busy doing something for her. I didn't care what she was doing for me. I was too busy trying to please her. And then on her side, she was too busy trying to please me, I hope. So, and that's what marriage is. It's 100%, 100%. We got to go back and get what we lost in our marriages. All right? So if there's something wrong with it, don't look at your partner. Look at yourself. Ask God to help you. Yeah, we get it. There's times when it's rough because we're two separate people. I mean, we've been married 30 years now, okay? And I know that's probably not a lot to some of you. And there are times, and there have been situations where I go this way and she goes that way. And then when we're at that wall and she's at that wall, there's only one thing to do. Turn around, look at each other. Now, how are we going to fix this? And we got to come together and we got to fix it. We got to figure it out. All right? Divorce is not in our language. And yet, I just talked with a guy 2 days ago. They only been married a year and a half. Oh, she wants to divorce me. What for? Something stupid I did. I mean, marriage is not sacred anymore. And yet, if we preach it the right way, God don't like divorce, and there's consequences for it. That's another message. Hallelujah. So listen, we can't give up on our marriages either. We can't quit. We got to get back up. We got to fight and make a comeback and watch what God does to our marriages. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to close up with this right here. My goodness, praise God. Hallelujah. Many of you have suffered loss in some other areas. Maybe you went to jail. You went to prison. Loss of a family member. We kind of talked that. Maybe you went bankrupt. Maybe you have had a divorce. Maybe you have been sick for a long period of time. Maybe there are mental issues and mental illness. But you know, you can make a comeback. The prodigal son made a comeback. His father took him back no matter what, with no questions asked. No matter how bad he was. I want all my money and I want it now. I want my inheritance now, but no buts. Okay, here you go. I'm sure he tried to talk him out of it, but it didn't matter. He didn't listen. We've all been there. We all haven't listened. We all want to do what we wanted to do, and we've all felt the consequences for it. But unlike people that we deal with in the world, our Lord and our Savior will take us back no matter what. No matter how bad we've been, Lord, he said that when you make your bed in hell, I'll be right there with you. That's amazing. That's an awesome, loving Father. Remember what he did when we were still yet sinners. He died for us. That's amazing. It's amazing. It's a miracle. David left behind the Ark of the Covenant one time. You read that story? Due to fear, because one of his close friends touched it and he died instantly. David was mad and he said, I don't want that thing with me anymore. And he left it at this dude's house. Come to find out, that dude was starting to get blessed, highly blessed and favored, where David was like, yeah, it's time we go get that thing and bring it back home. I want that blessing back. And they went and got it. He made a comeback and he got what he lost. He picked it back up. He took it back and blessing came back in his life. He also lost his whole family once. You want to talk about somebody with some tragedy? Came home for more one time, happy, singing. Come to find out that all around him, his village was burnt to the ground, and all of his wives and kids and everybody in his armies, wives and kids, were all gone. Didn't know what was happening. And his own team, who've been with him for years and years, fought beside him, wanted to kill him all of a sudden. Wow. How would you like to go into work one day and all your employees have knives at you? That'd be rough. And the Bible says that he didn't quit. He didn't give up. The Bible says he encouraged himself. Wow, that would be hard to do as he's weeping and crying. What's going on? But there's one thing that he did that most of us don't do when we read that scripture. It says that he inquired of the Lord, what do you want me to do? Sometimes we pass that part because of maybe the hurt situation. I don't want to hear from God. But he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go and recover all. And buddy, he did. I'd like to have been there in that fight. Check that out. He recovered all. He didn't ask why. If only I were here. The Bible says he wept and said, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Let's ask the Lord, what do we need to do? I don't know how many times I've lost my car keys. And I'm looking around. I'm getting frustrated. I'm mad. I'm getting irritated. And my wife, as awesome as she is, have you prayed about it? No, I haven't prayed. And then when I do, wow, the Lord tells me right where they are. If I'd have just done that 3 hours earlier, I wouldn't have to repent. You know? Wow, let's inquire of the Lord. Hallelujah. We all know what happened in Job. He lost 10 children at once in one day. You know, I don't think that's fair, what God let the devil do. And that's a question I want to ask the Lord, but when I get there, I won't care. Why? Why did you do that to poor Job, your servant, who was doing right in your sight? Lost his wives, lost everything in one day. But he said, I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. But yet he would not curse God, even when his wife said, just curse him and die. Wouldn't do it. That is unbelievable to me. when somebody says one thing wrong at church and we quit. This guy wouldn't quit losing his whole family, would not curse God and die. He wrestled with God, the Bible says. Oh, he had some quarrels, but he wouldn't quit and he wouldn't give up on God. Here's the thing. If you quit your job at McDonald's, you no longer get the benefits of free French fries. You don't get that Big Mac filet of fish, quarter pound of French fry, that icy Coke, thick shake sundae, and apple pie. You don't get that any longer when you quit. You lose the benefits when you quit McDonald's. You might be sitting here this morning and you've quit God. You've quit Jesus because of problems. I don't even know if he's listening. I don't know. Things aren't going well. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. You'll lose the benefit. You'll lose the benefit. And maybe some of you haven't even got the benefit. You've already lost it. Remember, he'll take you back no matter what you've done. Give him a chance. Inquire of him and see what he will do for you, because he loves you more than you think. It said when an evil person does good for their kids, how much more will God do for us? He loves you guys. He sees everything we're going through. He's right there with us. And he wants to help you. The prodigal son lost everything. His father took him back. We will have tribulation and trials. Mark 13:13 says that you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures until the end, in other words, he who does not give up, guess what? They shall be saved. Isaiah 40:30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. This is the end times we're living in, guys. End times we're living in. I heard it said the other day that there's not one scripture that needs to be fulfilled yet that brings Jesus back. Whoa. That means he could come back tomorrow. He could come back right now. Every scripture has been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled for him to come back. That's kind of scary, but it's also exciting. Amen? Let's wait on the Lord. Let's endure. He's our refuge. He's our strength in times of trouble. We are more than conquerors. And my last scripture is this, 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. And we can all relate to this. We might be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Let's keep casting our cares upon us, because he does care for us. So right now, if you're in some kind of pain, it might be mental pain. Listen, that song, Jesus, the name of Jesus, just the name of Jesus is all it takes. All we need for all of it to just disappear, to fall away. Chains will not just be broken, but chains will be destroyed at the name of Jesus. So if you need prayer right now, come up here. Whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, you need something, you come up here right now and God's going to take care of it right now, instantly. Right now. Come on up. Nicole, come up with me. Come on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. What do you need, sir? Okay. Problems and situations? Okay. Listen, who is the name above lung cancer? Jesus is the name above lung cancer. Absolutely, he will. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, God, you see my brother's faith. And God, in the name above cancer, this lung cancer, this pain, we curse it in Jesus' name, and we tell you to come out of him right now. Go, cancer. Leave his body. I command strength to come into his body right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank you for strength to come into his legs. Lord God, we give you praise for it. Hallelujah. Cancer is dissipating in these lungs in that name. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for the glory. God, we thank you for the honor. We give it to you. We thank you for the testimony in your name. We give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what? We obtain by faith, we have to keep by faith. So by faith, every day, thank your Lord. Raise them hands. I am healed. I'm set free. I am delivered. And you watch what will happen. Okay. All right. The CAT scans tomorrow. Amen. The results. Okay. Well, we just prayed. Them results may still say you have it, but we prayed today. You may have to have another result. Hallelujah. It's gone in Jesus' name. You know, Nicole and I, when we waited 8 years to have kids, and then we got pregnant, and we went to find out if it was a boy or a girl. And instead of finding out if it was a boy or a girl, we got told that we should have an abortion because there was something so wrong with our kid. We didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl yet. Something wrong was with our kid that we could just have an abortion. And a guy comes in and said, hey, you know what? Here's an option. Boy, we left crying like baby. Pastor Dosek, Pastor Phillips, myself and Nicole, we left crying. We wanted to find out if it was a boy or a girl. Her loins wasn't even there. Her head was too big. There was spots that wasn't even grown yet that should have been. And so we was like just crushed inside. But after we got done bawling and squalling in the car, I said, are we done yet? And they're like, what? What do you mean? What? I said, are we done? Because now it's time to fight. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to make a comeback. We're going to see what God has to say in this situation. Because this is his promise that we are to be healed and set free and delivered. He come to heal the sick and raise the dead. And that's what we did. And we fought no matter what the guy said when we went back for another ultrasound. It's still the same. Went back for another. It's still the same. And it just kind of messed up Nicole a little bit. Her faith a little bit. I mean, you know, it's still the same. So I said, we're never going back to another ultrasound. We're not doing it. What? We're not doing it. The doctors were mad. They were upset. They were ticked. I said, I don't care what they think. And we never went back. And a long story short, there's a lot of stuff in the middle of that. But we found out it was a girl. We named her Alexis, and I would speak to Alexis. You're 100% healed, Alexis. Your body is forming. It's not what it's supposed to be. All those scriptures. I did that every day, every night, laid hands on her. And when she came out, doctors were all around. Everybody was waiting for something crazy to happen, and she came out normal. Perfectly normal. And if God will do that for us, he does it for you because he's no respecter of persons. None. Anybody else have something they need? Anything? Going through anything? Is your mind okay? Do you need prayer for your mind? You're okay? You sure? I'll lay hands on it, buddy. We'll cast it out. You have to deal with me, so you're okay? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody haven't received Jesus as their personal Savior? You want the benefits of salvation? Come on up. You want the benefits? Come on up. Hallelujah. Come on up, sweetheart. Come on. Hallelujah. Hey, we're all family here. Amen? We're all family. What do you need? You might need to be put on medicine. Okay. Okay, so you're high strung like me. They call that what? HDD, PPD, CD, something like that? ADHD, okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's what I am. And I probably need to be medicated as well. I don't know. But okay, so you believe that God can touch your mind? I believe that as well. Are you ready? Now, are you saved? You think so? All right, let's get that out of the way first, okay? Do you know what Jesus did for you? He died for you, right? Even when we were sinners. And yet we're supposed to be dead. I mean, Romans 6:26 said that sin requires death, but yet he took our place for it. You know, it'd be like a car coming right at you, and I push you out of the way, and I stand in there, and I get hit by the car, so you're saved. That's what Jesus did for you. You know what I'm saying? So just ask him to just forgive you of your sins. It's that simple. And then he's going to come in. He's going to live there. And you're going to have the attributes of Jesus. In other words, you're going to be kind, loving, tenderhearted, caring. Not like some of these other church people that we talked about earlier, okay? Okay? And you're going to see what God does for you. He's going to touch your mind. And I believe that there won't be any medicine, okay? All right? All right, so give me your hands. Let's just pray after me. Say, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Take my sins, Lord, everything I've done wrong, and cast them as far as the east is to the west, and never remember them again. Now I am saved, Lord. I thank you for forgiving me. And now if I died today, I would go to heaven. Now, Lord, bring friends by my path that will help me live the life of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, we come before you right now. God, I touch her mind. And God, this HDD, HDP, whatever this demonic thing is that is not of you, your name is above it. God, I ask that you give her peace in her mind right now in the name of Jesus. God, whatever chemical imbalance, we command you to come back in motion, to come back in order in her mind in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for it right now. She will begin, Father, to have peace in her mind. She will begin to think clearly right now in Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. We thank you for it, Holy Spirit. We call it done. We call it done right now, God. Hallelujah. And we give you praise. We give you praise for it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just going to... All right? You're going to be able to focus in school. All right? You're going to be able to... Not whatever. Are you fidgety and all that kind of stuff too? And very hyper? You don't seem hyper right now. Because everybody's looking at you, is that how it is? Well, listen, I believe you're healed, all right? And you just thank God that I'm healed in Jesus' name. And you're also saved, you're going to heaven. Now he wants to build that relationship with you while you're on this earth, okay? Amen. Get around people that are good, that love God, that hate sin, and they'll help you, okay? All right, love you, girl. Good job. Amen, amen. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand. Yes, woo, man. The Bible says that when one's saved, angels are rejoicing in heaven, having a party, doing that new weird dance that they do now. I don't know what that is. That's ridiculous. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Sure. Devil has tried to steal, we rebuke in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. I said you're a liar, and you need to let him go in Jesus' name. Let him go in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, that you'll help him with thoughts, Lord God, that he'll think on things that are holy, pure, and just, and of a good report, God. He won't let his mind drift from the north, the south, the east, and west. But God, he's going to be stayed on you, for your word is life, and it's Zoe. And God, we are going to stand back. We're going to watch the salvation of the Lord, God, in this situation. We're giving it to you right now. God, we are inquiring of you, what do I do? We're done trying it on our own. And we're giving it all to you. God, I thank you for speaking to him clearly, Lord God, and speaking to the situation. God, we thank you for softened hearts, Lord God, softened hearts in Jesus' name. God, bitterness and hurt and anger, God, we ask that it just melt right now in this situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just melt, oh, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for it. I felt that. Thank you, Roma Harobo Kosita Ramasata. Thiko Romo Soto. God, we wait on you. We wait on you. We praise you, Father, because it's that name that name that destroys the yokes. God, that destroys the hurts, that destroys the burdens in Jesus' name. Ah, that makes a new path, a new way. God, I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we call it done, God. We call it done. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. It's okay. All right. What's her name? Anna. God, you see Anna. You, Father, you see the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And God, you died for Anna. You died for her, Father. God, even while she was in sin and may still be in sin, God, you died for her. You love her more than we love her. You care for her. God, I ask that you send people by her path right now in the name of Jesus. God, that will be the light in her, God, and that darkness, Lord God, be the light for her, God, and that, Father, we claim her for you. The devil will not have her, cannot have her, in Jesus' name. She will be saved. She will be set free, God, and she will live a life, God, that is pleasing to you. From this day forward, we continue to intercede for Anna. But God, we call her yours. The devil, you're a liar. Come off of her in Jesus' name. Physically, mentally, whatever it is, we curse it, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you that she has been set apart for your glory. And God, we thank you now for that. We give you praise in faith, believing, even though we have not seen yet, that it is happening. And we will confess that out of our mouths. And God, you said that whatever we say, we get. And we thank you for her salvation. Anna, you're saved in Jesus' name. You're saved in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for destroying those yokes. And they fall right now off of her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, just give her peace, peace in her mind right now, Lord God. I thank you for it. God, the devil, you're a liar. I command all unrest and all uneasiness to come off of her right now in the Jesus' name. I thank you that she melts in your presence, God, and I thank you for that peace just to come upon her, Father, like a sweet blanket in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, our God works. Our God moves. He's real. He sets free. He delivers. He hears our prayers. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anything else? Anything else? If not, do we have some prayer requests online? All right. Am I allowed to say these names? Is that, can I say this? Okay, there's a Mimi Miller. Please continue to pray for Janelle and Jeremy. Is that mayo? Like mayonnaise? Sorry, just being funny. All right, let's see here. And Janelle had emergency surgery on her bowels and is still in the hospital, okay? And then Angel Dyer. Yeah, I don't see Angel. She's a great baker. It says, not feeling well, and pray for her grandson, Grayson, a.k.a. Reggie, okay? He has RSV. All right, listen, body of Christ, these are our brothers and sisters that who need prayer. And listen, you guys, it just isn't me, it's us. We're the body. All right, you have just as much power as I have. Amen. So together, we're going to pray over these. And you know what? We're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see healings and miracles. Listen, I know it's late. I'm so sorry. There was a little girl who came from South Africa. And she was in our kids' church, and she spoke French. I didn't know it. I was trying to tell her, do you know Jesus, Jesus? And I didn't know she spoke French, not Spanish. It's so such a long story. She came for an emergency surgery. Her appendix had erupted. And so that Wednesday, she was having emergency surgery. And I took all the kids in the children's church, and I said, you believe that God can fix these situations? And they said, yes. And I said, if you believe it, then get over there and touch this girl. And they went over, and they touched this girl, and I prayed. And at the end of my prayer, I said these exact words. When you go, and I was looking to the girl that brought her, I said, when you take her Wednesday, the doctor is going to look at her and say, why did you bring her here? There's nothing wrong with her. Those exact words that I said. I didn't know I said it that way. Long story short, didn't get a call Wednesday, got a call Thursday. And it was the parents that was hosting that girl for the surgery. The doctor came in, brought a French interpreter. They did another exam before surgery. And the doctor looked at the host parent and said, "Why did you bring her here? There's nothing wrong with her." Those exact words that I had said. Woo! Man, I was like, yes! That Sunday, she comes back to church and she's sitting in the kids' church. And I mean, we were just gloating and we were having a great time. And I said, "Come on." And I brought her and they brought all the children's church. And we went out on the main stage. Pastor Dosik is preaching down the house. And I said, "Excuse me, Pastor." I said, "I got something to say." And he was just like, "What? What?" And he said, "Well, I guess you're going to come out anyway. Might as well come on out." And he came. We came out there and we all lined up. And I gave that testimony. And all of a sudden, there was a lady who was a doctor's wife who spoke French in the congregation. She comes up on that stage, starts talking to that girl. She starts bawling her eyes out, saying, "As I came over on the plane, I was hurting. And then somehow it just stopped hurting because God healed her. And that was through the kids' faith in kids' church." Woo! Hallelujah. So, Mimi, we're going to pray for you right now. Angel, we're praying for you and your grandson. By faith, we're praying together in Jesus' name. Remember, 1 is 1,000 and 2 is 10. And how many is all of us together? Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we all come before you as a church, Lord God. We bind our faith together with these situations. Mimi, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, for Janelle and for Jeremy Mayo, Janelle, God, you are not going to die. Nothing is wrong with you. You're coming out of that hospital. We claim healing over her body from the top of her head to the bottom of those feet. We command her to be healed, to be set free. We use our faith and bind it together in this house, God, and we call it done in the name of Jesus. Angel, we command that body, whatever is wrong, we command it to line up with God's word, healing to take place in that body, Father, from again the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, her head, Father, her stomach, Lord God, we command healing to take place right now in Jesus' name. We curse that sickness and we command it go. That RSV in Jesus' name, Grayson, God, you are healed of that. That is a name that is underneath the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we curse that RSV. We command it to leave your body now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for it. We give you praise. And the whole congregation said, amen and amen. It's done. Come on, give God one last hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Thank you today, God, for deliverances. Thank you for salvations today. And thank you for healings today. And thank you, Father, for touching everybody's mind in this place today. God, I pronounce a blessing over each and every one of their lives, each and every one of their homes. God, I thank you. They're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. God, I thank you for raises. I thank you for promotions. God, I thank you that people are being added to this church daily from the north, south, east, and the west. God, I thank you for provision in this church. This church is paid off. In Jesus' mighty name, God, every need is met. Every want is met. In the name of Jesus, God, I give you praise for it. God, we continue to thank you, God, for Pastor Phil, for Pastor Regina, God, for this church and this sanctuary. God, we thank you that this church is a light in this area and that, God, people will be coming that are sick, that are like dismayed, God, that have issues and situations. And when they walk through these doors, they will be healed instantly without even being touched. God, we thank you for the anointing on their lives. We thank you for the band, the anointing on their lives, God, and on every instrument, Father, that as they play, people are healed, people are touched, people are being set free and changed forever in this house. We give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Is this it? It's over? Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Bring a friend. Love you guys. Have a great day. Amen.